Well, thank you, Tiffany. Nothing but the blood. That's the answer, folks. That's the whole answer. Appreciate that good message and song. Why don't you go to the book of Psalms with me this morning? We're going to read a biggest portion of the 77th Psalm. I'll let you find that. Just generally, you find Psalms pretty much in the middle of your Bible, and go to chapter 77. We kind of sneak up on the psalmist here and catch him in a private moment, we might say. We catch him with his revealing his heart to us in these verses in the 77th Psalm. And I want to speak to you on the subject, searching for God. Searching for God. You know, we've all had to search for something sometime. Most of us men find where we left it, and we thought the wife took it away, but it was there right where we left it. We've been there, haven't we, fellas? Anyway, sometimes searching for something, you're really joyful when you do find it. I think about the fellow that was playing the violin. Another fellow was listening to him till he couldn't stand it any longer. The guy was just going back and forth across the violin. Guy come up to him and he said, "Look, I've seen folks play the violin before." And he said, "They just don't move it in one place." He said, "They move it around and their fingers go up and down. They search up and down." And the guy said, yeah, I understand. He said, "You see, they're still looking for it. I found it." Anyway, we've all searched for something, but think about the thought here. The psalmist, you'll see it here. Just imagine him, midnight hour, as it were, laying on the bed. We've been there. We've all been there. And notice his words, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me in the day of my trouble." Boy, that's when we cry the best, isn't it? "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking." Couldn't sleep. "I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night." Don't have it now, but remember it. "I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Searching, in a sense, for God. "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah, just basically we could say he means amen, so be it. Verse 10, I want you to notice a little bit of the change of direction now in verse 10. "And I said, this is my infirmity." And here's where the gear changes. "But," crosses the street, opposite truth. "But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." I'm going to stop there, but I'm glad to see the psalmist came out of his depression, came out of his valley, when he began to remember what God had done for him. And here he is on his bed at night. Here he is, he's lost his song in the night. Here he is wondering if God has forgot to be gracious. And he's hurting, and his soul can't find any comfort. And it seems like that suffering is worse at night, don't it? The Bible talks about suffering endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And most of us that have been on the sick bed during the night, I remember even as a kid and some of the sicknesses I went through, I remember thinking the night would never end, that I wanted to see the morning come. And we've all been there in that place, no doubt about it. But in a sense, I look here and I see that the psalmist is searching for God. He said, where's the Lord? Has he forgot to be gracious? Is he not going to be merciful anymore? And it's a dark time when you think you can't find God. And that's where the psalmist was right here. You know, mankind today has many needs, but what they don't know is the big need is God. That's what they need. That's what all of us need is God. And you know, there's a sense that all men search for God. I was reading some stats this week put out by some of the atheists and trying to blast the church and blast Christ and say there is no God. And yet, in a sense, that very action they're taking tells me they're searching for God. They don't know what they're looking for, but they're trying to convince themselves they're not looking for him. But they are. They really are. Everybody, at one way or another, search for God. They're trying to convince themselves, so to speak. But, you know, many don't know what they're searching for. And that's sad. I think about the soldier, boy on base, acting funny. Different of his buddies would watch him. He'd come across a piece of paper laying on the ground. He'd pick it up and smell of it, and he'd say, that's not it. Pretty soon they'd see him pick up another one. He'd smell of it and they'd hear him say, that's not it. It's not it. Really looked odd to him. You know, the truth of the matter is he couldn't be satisfied. Everything he picked up was wrong. I want to say to you, truth of the matter is the eyes of man are never satisfied. We go about looking just as odd as that soldier boy, searching for something. But you know, that's the power behind religion. I didn't say Christianity. I said religion. You know what religion does? It keeps a man searching. You know what religion does? It just teases him. Do this, and you'll be all right. Do this. Join this. Go through this ceremony. And all the ceremonies, I didn't watch much of it. It kind of run any news program I watched this week. But some of the religious ceremonies is pathetic. But I got to thinking, what is really there? And I'll tell you what's there. A whole pile of people bought airplane tickets and went there and spent all kind of money, and no telling how much tax money we put in it. There's one big message. They're searching for something. They're searching for something. And the truth is, religion don't have it. All religion can do is tease you along and set you up, and I hate to say it, but in some senses give a false hope. But what you see is people that they hadn't found it yet. That's why they're still searching, amen? That's why they're still looking. That's the power behind religion. Now, I want to say this. Every man, in a way, searches for God, and many of them are looking for him in the wrong place. By the way, God was not in Washington this week. He was not in Philadelphia. Not in the sense that the world wants to say that he was. And a lot of them are looking in the wrong place. It reminds me when I was a kid, you kids can't imagine this, but I grew up without a TV or a cell phone. I will admit to spending a few dimes on funny books, cartoon books. I remember a book called Mutt and Jeff. Anybody remember any Mutt and Jeff books? Mutt and Jeff. Sometimes their funny stuff made more sense than some other stuff. But I remember one time of the caption there, Mutt and Jeff. I forget which one of them. I believe it was the short one. He was down on his knees under the street light, and he was looking. And the other one, the tall one, came up to him and said, what are you looking for? He said, well, I lost my key. I lost my key. Help me look for it. He said, I dropped my key. He said, where'd you drop it? He said, well, I dropped it over there. But he said, the light's better over here. That pictures to me a whole lot of the foolishness that's going on when it comes to religion. They're looking in the wrong place. You know what man does today? He looks to man. He wants to deify man. He wants to set man up on a pedestal. He wants to make man his God. And you see it in all kind of religions. You got the Dalai Lama, whatever his name is. You got figures like Buddha. You got all the different ones that say, and look to me. I remember when they had the big rally meeting out in Texas many years ago. And they had this guru, or whatever you call him, that come over with this mystical Mideastern religion. And they just had hundreds of thousands gather in a ball stadium out in Texas to see this guy that was claiming to be God in the flesh. And Americans gathered in that kind of a number out there. Unbelievable. And yet we still see it happening, don't we? Somehow we want to put man on a pedestal. We want to look up to man. I was sitting in an automobile years ago in Orlando. My wife and I were up there for some reason. And she just had to go in the store for a minute. Ladies, you understand, just stop here for a minute. You understand that? So I sat in the car, pulled off my shoes, laid back. I knew how long a minute was. And had the windows down. Said, why didn't you leave the air conditioner? Didn't have an air conditioner then. Besides that, couldn't burn that much gas. It cost 25 cents a gallon. But anyway, go in the store for just a minute. So while she was in there, I saw this guy coming down the street, and he saw me sitting there. I was an easy target. Now, I saw him. I couldn't miss seeing him. He had on a white robe and sandals. He had his head shaved except for one pigtail hanging right out of the back. Yeah, you couldn't miss seeing him. So sure enough, he come up to the window and he began to witness to me about his God. He was a Hare Krishna. You ever hear that crew? I don't see much of them anymore. And he's standing there telling me all about all that stuff. Finally, when he shut up a little bit, I said, I'll tell you about the real God if you want to take time to hear me. I'll tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, he took off. He didn't want to hear that. You see, he was looking for God, but he was looking in the wrong place. And he had a hero he'd set up. He had an idol he'd set up. He had his own God that he'd set up. And listen, while we joke about him, we look around and see a lot of Americans doing the very, very same thing. Amen. I tell you what, it's a big disappointment for some of them when they find out that God is not God. In World War II, there was when the Japanese had to surrender on the ship, signed the surrender to Douglas MacArthur at the end of World War II, there's a lot of Japanese committed suicide. They did so because their imperial emperor that they thought was God had been defeated by the American God, and they had discovered their God was no God at all. And many of them committed suicide over that. It's a shock when you find out the person or the thing or the religion or the man that you've set up and pretending you think he's God when you know deep in your heart he's not. He's not. And it's a sad truth, but that is the truth. I'm thinking about a Japanese preacher that said, during those times around the World War II area, he said he was arrested because he was a Christian, and he was pastoring a little Japanese church, a Christian church. And he said they brought him in and interrogated him. And one of the questions they asked him about the emperor, they said to him, they said, who do you believe was the Son of God? And he said, well, I believe Jesus Christ was. They put him in jail for most of the rest of the war because he said the emperor was not the Son of God. And at the end of the war, like I say, it was a sad news for so many to find out their God had been defeated, of course, in their imagination by the American God. Listen, the message this week up in Washington and all over your TV, it's been an earthbound message. Wouldn't it be something to be able to tell all those millions the gospel? Did you hear it? You didn't hear it. Did somebody tell somebody how to be saved over the news? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But we watched the ceremonies, or some of you did. Walk around. And, oh, come on. Come on. But I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Just got an opportunity. Tell them what Tiffany was just singing. The answer's in the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. He loved you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Get the news out and tell the truth. People are searching for God. People need to hear about it. Amen. The message was earthbound. Save the environment. Save Mother Earth. It's a sin against our grandkids if we don't save Mother Earth. I tell you what's a sin against our grandkids, $19 trillion in debt. That's what's a sin against your grandkids, brother. But the whole earthbound message, just an earthbound message. And the answer to it is in the Bible. Somebody says, well, we don't want to pollute Mother Earth. I like that bumper sticker that on the back of a car said, I spit on your mother this week. I'm just got that in me. Not totally sanctified yet like some of you. The truth of the matter is, what a joke is being pulled. What a deception is being pulled on millions and millions of people. Genesis chapter 8 says, as long as the earth endures, you're going to have seed time and harvest. You're going to have cold and heat. You're going to have summer and winter. And day and night. That's God's promise. What kind of ego you got? You think you can destroy God's earth? You can't destroy it. He made it. He created it. It's going to last long as he wants to. You say the water's running out. Oh, what a joke. So there's running out. No, God put enough here to last till he gets back and takes care of it. Yeah. He's going to take care of it. It's going to be all right. What a deception going on. I think about that song I used to hear when I'd watch a Roy Rogers movie when I was a kid. The Sons of the Pioneers furnished the music most of the time for Roy Rogers. Hey, listen, watch deep movies. Don't watch that bad stuff. Watch something simple. He always won. He was always right. Anyway, the Sons of the Pioneers had a little song, and it make you picture in your mind a man in the desert dying, dragging along in the heat, and he's seeing a mirage. And the song went something like this: don't listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. And I want to say to the world today, don't listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. You're being deceived. You're searching for God, and you're being misled everywhere you turn. And it's too bad, but it's true. It's true. Satan's deception. Let me say this. All men are searching for God, whether they know it or not. Many of them looking in the wrong place. But I want to say this. Thank God you can know. You can know when you find him. I told you about the soldier boy picking up a piece of paper and smelling of it, throwing it down, saying, that's not it. His buddies watching him, and finally they went to the captain and they said, something's the matter with Joe. He just picking up a piece of paper, smelling of it, throwing it down, so he's going crazy. So after a while, the captain calls Joe in. He said, Joe, we love you, but we don't really need you anymore. And Joe, here's your discharge. Joe grabbed it, smelled of it, and said, that's it. That's it. That's what I wanted all the time. Brother, when I got saved, that was it. It's what I wanted all the time. It was the answer. Amen. You'll know it. You'll know it if you really get saved. You'll know it when you find the real God. You'll know it. You can't help but know it. Because his spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, Romans 8. You'll open the book that made no sense to you before, and God will jump off the page at you. You'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it when you have the burden and you need, have a need, and you pray, and the next thing you know, God's answered a prayer for you. You'll know it. You'll know it when you find the Lord Jesus Christ. in a sense, you'll know it because you'll have an inner peace you never had before. That's what I read in the text here with the psalmist. He's suffering on his bed. He's lost his song in the night. He's wondering if God is gracious anymore. But then he keeps on going and he remembers how good God's been to him and all the wonders he's done. And all of a sudden he's got the victory and he's got peace about it now. And peace that starts on the inside. And when you get saved, you got an inner peace that you never had before. And not only that, it'll produce an outer contentment that you never had before. It'll make sense. You know, there's a true thought. A man is never ready to live until he's ready to die. And you're never ready to die until you know where you're going. And when you know you're going to heaven, that does produce an inner peace that will work to the outside and bring an outer contentment that even others will know something happened to him. He's different. He's not the same. And that's what happens to you when you get saved. Amen? That makes the difference. I tell you what else it'll do. It'll give you an understanding you didn't have before. You know, the only people in the world that really knows what's going on are the people that are saved, know what God's plan is according to his word. Oh, I see what's happening in the world. I wish it wasn't. I hate to see starving people. I hate to see the immigrants and having to leave their country and the whole villages of Christians being slaughtered. I hate all that, but I look above it and I see God's big plan and it's going to come out all right. He's in charge. He's in charge. I've read the back of the book. I find out who the winner is. And brother, it's the Lord and his people. Amen. The world's troubled. They're bad. They're bad, but they're zero compared to what God's going to do. Old Thomas Edison was known as the famous inventor. Back in his day too, somebody said a comet's coming. It's going to hit the earth. It's going to destroy the earth. I wanted to see what Mr. Edison said, whether he was afraid. And he said, oh, that's all right. That's all right. We can do without it. And we can do without it because God's in charge, amen? Oh, yes, men do search for the Lord and search in the wrong places. And when you find him, you'll find out this wonderful truth. He was searching for you all the time. Isn't that good? Oh, yes, he was searching for me all the time. I thought I found him. No, he found me. He found me. He was searching for me. He's been searching for you ever since you were a child. Did you know that? You remember early years when somebody hurt your feeling as a kid? Now, you'd get them hurt after you're a kid, but I'm talking about kids sometimes get their feelings hurt. Did you ever have that happen to you? Oh, don't lie to me. I know you did. If you got in the feelings, you got them hurt at some time. That's part of growing up. That's part of growing up. Mama did it. Daddy did it. Friend did it. Teacher did it. It's okay. You'll survive. But you know what you did when you got your feelings hurt? You automatically prayed. You didn't say, I think now I'll have a prayer time. No, you didn't. Just in the sanctuary of your heart, you started talking to God. You wanted somebody on your side, somebody you could complain to that would understand you and help you. And the truth of the matter is, God was searching for you then. Maybe you heard an occasional word about heaven or hell or about Jesus. Maybe you didn't get raised in a Christian home. Maybe you didn't get to go to Sunday school every week. But a word here and there. Somebody said this, something. God was searching for you. He was reaching out to you way, way back then. The book of Acts chapter 17 says, in him we live and move and have our being, that he's never very far from us. And God has never overlooked us. And he wants us to hear his call and come to him. You know, truth is, when I first heard the gospel, it was the greatest thing I ever heard. I think God had dealt with me from a childhood on from time to time, hearing a bit and a piece, some of it right, some of it wrong, but sticking in there. And I didn't know it. If somebody asked me, what are you looking for? I wouldn't have said so, but I realize now, all back during that time, I was really wanting to find God and even didn't know I was needing to look for him. The truth of the matter is, I went in a church and I heard the good news that Jesus Christ loved me, that he was the Son of God that left heaven's glory and came to this old sin-cursed earth, took my bad on him, my sins on him, and paid a price before a holy God I could not pay. And they call that grace the unmerited favor of God. And I sat back on near the back of the church and began to hear that three or four times. It sounded too good to be true, that there was a way I could have my sins forgiven, that I could go to heaven. And you see, that's still the best news I've ever heard, and it's the best news I've ever shared, and it's the best news you will ever hear, that you'd be saved by grace. Not your works, not your deeds, not who you know, not some religious leader you gotta go see or touch, but somebody that will come right where you're at and find you. Bible says that we'll find him when we search for him with all our heart. God will come into our heart every time we open the door to him. Every time we say yes to him, he'll come right in. I heard that gospel for the first time, and it was the best news I ever heard in my life. I found that God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That's what the Bible says. I was like the zombies here. You read where he changes gear, and all of a sudden it's positive. All of a sudden, God's making a difference. His memory of what God has done is making the difference. And while he's on the bed, on his pillow, having a pity party, all of a sudden, he gets the light, and the search is over, and he comes to God. And I want to say to some of you listening on radio and in this room this morning, what you need is to say yes. God's searching for you. If you'll say yes to him, he'll come live within your heart. He'll give you peace and assurance and understanding you've never had before. He'll give you victory that you can't have no other way with nobody else. He will not deceive you. He will come in if you'll let him. You know, in the Garden of Eden, man sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And the Bible tells us that they went, tried to make them aprons out of fig leaves, and they hid from God. They didn't go searching for God. They were afraid to face God. God came searching for them. And he's still searching for you today. Maybe he's moved up and down that pew you're sitting on. Maybe somebody said something this week. Maybe you heard something on the radio or somewhere else. That's God walking in the cool of the day, calling your name and telling you to come. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your search is over. Just like the psalmist here, you've got victory on the other side of a bad night. You've got your answers. I wonder this morning, do you have Christ? Have you heard him call? Have you let him come and be your Savior? I pray you will, and that you'll do it even today. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's stand quiet.